Today's readings are from the Old and New Testament. Our first reading from Proverbs 17:17. A friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in time of need. Our next Proverbs is 18, verse 24. There are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. Our New Testament reading, John 15, verses 12 through 15. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves, because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father has told me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's not raining, it's not snowing, there's no ice on the cars. I'm a happy person. Should have said that for praises. Should have said that. That would have been a good praise. Yes, we do. Especially in February. Today, I want to talk to you about something that maybe some of us take for granted. So I want you just to kind of focus on this, kind of just think about this a little bit, because it's very, very, very deep. Got a lot of thoughts here. The topic is friendship. Friendship. Now, I always like to go to the dictionary or Wikipedia or someplace, you know. It's like, okay, what does the world think about this? And this is what I got out of Wikipedia. Wikipedia says it's a relationship of mutual affection between people. It is a stronger form of interpersonal bond than an association, and has been studied in academic fields such as communication, sociology, social psychology, anthropology, and philosophy. Wow. Sounds like a lot of people have been thinking about this for a while. But let's not go that far. Okay, no lectures today. Let's kind of think about it in a simple way, and just see what we can think about why God made us so special, that we need friends and we need to be friends. Who are our friends? Why do we value them? How do we make friends? How do we keep friends? These are all kind of basic questions, so let's think about this. First, let's talk about the type of friends. Certainly, there are many types. If you think about it, there are many levels of friendships. There are ones that come to mind are casual, close, true, real, best. You know, all those words kind of bring different feelings, right? When you think about a casual friend, you kind of feel casual. If you think about a true friend, you go, oh yeah, that person's a true friend. So friends have different places in our lives and in our hearts. And they also differ based on where they appear in our lives, like the arenas of our lives. You know, we all have, some of us have a school life. A lot of us have a work life. A lot of us have a home life. And a lot of us have a church life. Now, some of us can have a lot of friends. Some of us can have a lot of casual friends. Some of us can have a lot of close friends, but I wonder about that. Some people don't have any friends at all. If you ask them, they'll say, I have no friends, except my dog. And of course, they are really good friends, I have to say. And you know, for those people that say they don't have any friends, I feel really sad for them, because I think deep down inside, maybe they'd like that to be different. Because you know, we all need someone that cares that we're alive. My husband used to say, it's nice to know someone cares that I'm coming home tonight. You know, just a thought. But those people, I do understand, because life has ways of it can be a complicated life. You don't get to the place where you have no friends but easily, you know, because we are like people. So I feel sorry for them. My heart hurts for them, because life is complicated, and I get it. So why do we need friends and why do we want friends? Good question. Why did God make us this way? I mean, I don't think there's anybody out there that doesn't want a friend. So that must mean it's part of our makeup, right? Something God put inside of us. So why do we need friends? Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is we don't want to be lonely. You know, friends help us not feel lonely. We all need someone to connect with, to communicate with. Even if it's just one other person, somebody to say good morning to. Someone to say, hey, how did your day go? Or, gosh, I'm going through a really hard time. I need to talk to somebody. Can I just share this? Or even just share the weather, you know. Oh, it's a sunny day. It's great. Or, oh, I don't like this weather. So we all need somebody that we can share these things and get feedback with. And we also need somebody that we can reciprocate that with. We want to hear about other people's lives. You know, maybe that some people don't think that's a good thing. Maybe you're nosy. But, you know, I think all of us, we want to kind of know what's going on in other people's lives. And friends are good about that. You know, tell me about your day. Tell me about your day. What are you feeling? What are you going? How are you doing with this? So, but, you know, I think God made us that way. I think that we need to connect. The second thought that comes to my mind is that we need to feel like we're bigger than something than just ourselves. We don't do alone well. We're not really solo acts. We want to feel part of something, like whether it's a church or a family or a team or any place where you go. But you know what makes a group? When you go to that group, what makes that group really special? It's the friends you make in that group. And that what brings you back to that group are the friendships you've made. You know, you don't go back just because, oh, I've got to go to a prayer meeting, or I've got to go to a Bible study. You go back because, oh, I wonder what's happening to Claudette today. Oh, I wonder how Harold is. Oh, I want to go back. And, you know, we'll do the Bible study and that'll be good. But that group has become part of me. So then let's go on to how do we make friends. And now I have to say I've struggled with this a lot in my life. My husband Frank once asked me, he says, why don't we have any friends? And I was like, what? What do you mean we don't have any friends? We go to church, we're active in church, we go have dinner with a couple every week. What do you mean? And what I think, after thinking about it, is what he really meant was he was missing good friends. And it made me go back and think about what Frank was like when I first met him. When I first met him, he had a really good friend, Bob. And he and Bob probably got together every single day. I remember coming home when we were dating, coming home and going over to see Frank, and there would be Bobby, and they'd be playing cards. You know, and they had done a lot of life together before me. And they could read each other, and Bobby was really good about helping me understand what Frank was feeling, because I couldn't read his body language very well, and I couldn't tell his tells, and he helped me a lot. But then life went on. Bobby got married. He moved away. Frank and I got married. And that relationship kind of went on the back burner because it didn't get the attention that it used to have. And I think Frank never really found that same connection with anybody, you know, especially a male. You know, I was his wife, so we were best friends. But, you know, guys need guys and girls need girls. And, you know, and I think that's what he was saying. And so we ended up just having friends as a couple, and we didn't go out very much and do things for I don't know really why. So we didn't have a lot of couple friends, just a few in the many years we were together. So how do we make friends? Well, I'd say there's at least two big ingredients to friendship. One is time. Well, actually three. One is time, one is openness, and one is love. We need to be able to make time in our lives for our friends. Friendship is like a plant. If you don't water it, it doesn't grow. You know, you can have a friend and then you don't talk to him. Thank God for social media. Thank you. Because you can reach out any time of the day. You can communicate. You can pick it up. But if you don't talk to somebody for a while, don't you feel that drift? That drift? And then you want to go back and say, hey, how are you? What are you doing? Where have you been? Oh, you went to Israel. How was the trip? You know, you said you're going to have me over and show you pictures, but it's been 3 weeks, okay? But, you know, the friends don't do that to each other. We're a little bit kinder to each other. So you have to make time for people. You have to communicate. And that's where the openness comes in. You have to be willing to share, to be vulnerable, and share a little bit about yourself. Now, that's scary because you're not really sure how this friend is going to be, but until proven otherwise, you're not, you know, nothing ventured, nothing gained. So, you know, you have to be willing to be vulnerable and share a little bit. Maybe you start a little slowly. How's the weather? I love to play golf, you know. And then you get into the things that really start to matter as that friendship develops. So, and to be a good friend, now that's kind of like getting stuff for you. What you really need to do is also give back. You know, this is a two-way street. So as you get close to your friends, you want to know what's going on in their life. You know, how are you? What are you feeling? Are you going through struggles? You want to make an open environment so that person can feel comfortable and secure and trust that what you share is going to make a difference. So those are just a couple things that I went through in my mind, and I also thought about how hard it is this day and age to do this, okay? We are so busy. I mean, we've got, I don't know how working mothers do it. I just don't. You've got a job, you've got kids, you've got family, and when do you spend time for yourself? Do you get to the gym? You know, do you have any time for hobbies? Do you get to read a book? No, you don't get that, you know, because, you know, you get up in the morning, you hit the ground running, and you're gone. So where do you find the time, you know, to do this, to invest in friends? So it's not surprising that some of us might feel friendless, you know, because it's a big job. And then I started thinking, well, I wonder what the scripture says about friendship. You know, this is a sermon. I probably should look at this. But, you know, there's a lot of things in the scripture about friends. And we read a couple of the scriptures here. But when I go back, and I Googled this, and I'm reading all these things that said friends, and all I could think of was, boy, this is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Oh, my goodness. It just ran the gamut from a good friend to a bad friend, you know. Ooh. And all I could think of, that really reflects who we are as human beings. You know, we're some of us, we have our good days, we have our bad days, and we have our really ugly days when you should have just stayed home, you know. But that's, you know, that's what the Bible is. It reads us. And then I thought, what was an example of a really good friend in Scripture? And Suzanne just mentioned it once in a thing, and it really got me thinking, is David and Jonathan. You know, David, before he became King David, was just David. And he had a best friend, and actually the Bible said they were more like brothers. They were closer than brothers, and his name was Jonathan. And he was actually the son of King Saul. I don't know if you remember the story. So David, after killing Goliath, you know, he starts spending time with the king, and he becomes a great warrior, and Saul gets really jealous, and he wants to kill David. But through this whole time, Jonathan stayed his friend and even warned him. And you know, when you think about it, that was a lot for Jonathan. He was going against his father, and not only that, he knew he was never going to be king, because David was God's chosen successor for king. So how much did Jonathan love David? How much of a friend was he to him? And then David, after he became king and it was all over and life had settled down and Saul was gone and died and so had Jonathan, he went out and he looked for Jonathan, the last ancestor, because they had destroyed Saul's family. He looked, he said, is there any one person left in that lineage? And he found him and he honored him. He brought him into his house. He was a crippled. He brought him into his house and he cared for him. So he honored the name of his friend through taking care of his ancestor. So they both sacrificed a lot. And I thought that was pretty cool. And then we go back to say, to, you know, if you go back even farther, we hear that the scripture says that Abraham believed God and it was credited him as righteousness, and he is called God's friend. That was in James 2:23. So God had friends. He called people friends. And then you think about, wow, how did that friendship come out? And you think, remember the story when Abraham had this conversation with God about Sodom and Gomorrah? How he bartered with God? You know, Abraham, these guys came to see on their way to Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy it because the wickedness had been huge and the outcry had been great. And so the Lord was coming down to see if it was really true and he was going to wipe them out because they were bad. And they stopped to see Abraham. And Abraham knew that his nephew Lot was living in Sodom. And so when the Lord told him that he was going to destroy the city, I'm sure all he could think of was, what's going to happen to my nephew? And so he started to talk to God, and he said, would you really destroy the righteous with the unrighteous? He said, would you destroy the city if you could find 50 righteous men? 50, just 50. And the Lord said, yeah, I will not destroy the city if I find 50. And then he comes back and he says, what about 40? And he goes down the list to 10. He gets down to 10. And the Lord each time said, okay, I won't destroy the city for 10. And I thought, even when I read that story now, I kind of get, you know, wow, Abraham, you have a lot of chutzpah. Yeah, I mean, God's going to do this, and you're bartering it with him. So there, you know, that kind of gives us a little light into the relationship that God and Abraham had. And then there's Moses. Oh, I love Moses. Moses had no hope. He was picked. And it's the Bible says in Exodus 33:11, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Can you even picture what that would be like? You know, they say that Moses' face glowed with the glory of God because he spoke to him. And so I thought about Moses, and I love all the stories of Moses, but the very first one, when he meets the Lord in the burning bush, always comes back to me because, you know, here God comes to him, he says, Moses, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh in Egypt, and you're going to bring my people out and all this. And he's like, uh-uh, I can't do this. You know, send someone else. And he keeps, you know, God keeps saying, I'll be with you. It's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. And Moses just isn't convinced. And so he, like, pushes the patience of God. That's how I read it. I mean, you know, I may not be right, but, you know, I'm like thinking, Moses, just say yes. He'll be all right. But there is friendship. There is friendship. There was a friendship growing in Moses. And then we come to Jesus, the best friend. Here is Jesus. He's the Son of God and the Son of Man. He came into our world to show us the Father in a human form, so that we could more easily understand him and know him. And he just called 12 men, out of the crowd to make special friendships with them. And how did their relationships grow with Jesus? You know, what was it like when he actually called them? Do you ever wonder, like, you know, they're working and all of a sudden Jesus comes and calls them and they drop everything and leave? Wow. What went through their minds during that time? And then they spent the next 3 years day and night with him, day and night, every day. And they called him teacher and they called him rabbi and they called themselves disciples and followers. What was that friendship? What were those friendships like? What was it like? And the passage we read today tells us how Jesus thought about them. Greater love has no man than to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends, for everything I've learned from the Father, I have made known to you. Wow. And I want to remind you this morning that this very same Jesus wants to be your best friend. If you are a born-again believer and you have made Jesus your Lord and Savior, he wants to be your close, intimate, and personal friend. Through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you can have that relationship. And no matter how difficult it may be, and how hard it is to find time to spend, you cannot do anything that will impact your life in a better way than finding time to spend with him. Just remember, he's there. He's there. All you have to do is talk to him. You can shut your eyes. You can turn, you know, just turn your attention to him, and he's there to listen. And I had a lot more to say. You know what? It's getting late. So I'm just going to wrap this up. And I'm going to say that, you know, over the last 15 months since Frank died, I've been doing a great transformation. I am learning how to do life all different. He's teaching me how he is my best friend. You know, I had a friend once that said, who was single, and I said, "Do you ever get lonely?" And she said, "No, I never get lonely." And, you know, and I looked at her weird, but the expression on her face was kind of funny because I thought maybe she thought maybe it would be nice to be alone a little bit because Jesus was there all the time. You know, she had a very interesting relationship with God. But, you know, now I understand what she meant because my house may be quiet, but it's not empty. It's not empty. He is there. He is there in a big way. I do not feel alone at all. And I think I have to learn, you know, when Frank was going through all this crazy stuff, I went to God in desperation. I was desperate, like, I need your help. And now my life is quieter, and I have to try to find him in that different space, that different place. And that's okay, because I'm learning how to pray and listen and to be aware of what's happening in my heart. I used to be so busy, I didn't even, you know, I don't even know what was going on around me. And to be open and honest and transparent with him and to let him be my strength. So when I'm in, whether I'm in a good place or a crazy place, because this grief thing can be really nuts, I'm sure a lot of you have experienced this. It can kind of come out of nowhere and, you know, you have no control. Or sometimes a spirit of fear and anxiety because you're, you know, it's weird. It's just sometimes you get afraid of things and you don't even know why. There's no reason. But God is always there to calm me down and help me understand and help me show how to move on. And he's also teaching me the special value of true friends, you guys. You know, I used to be so busy, I didn't have any friends. You know, life, there was no time. There was no time to invest in friends. And I didn't even, I didn't say I didn't want them, but I didn't even have time to know that I wanted them. You know, that was kind of, and I'm sure some of you are like in that kind of place where, you know, there's just no time. But during these last 15 months, God has showed me how precious human friends are too. How precious they are, you know, and how unique everybody is. Everybody's so unique. There's not one person that's alike. How awesome is God? There's not, nobody's alike. So I know some of you have learned how to have lots of friends, have reached out this, and I am just in awe of your testimony to friendship, and I am on my way. I'm learning, and I'm growing in this, and I'm just hoping and praying that each one of you would take some time to let God teach you about friendship, or maybe move you a little closer to some people, or open your eyes, or maybe your understanding, give you a little time. And if that's not right now, you know, maybe life is still too crazy, just remember that when that time comes, God will be there. God will be there to open up that door, to show you, to teach you, to guide you. He's there every journey of the way until our journey ends. And, you know, when you think about it, we're not always going to be here. This is not our final destination. And, you know, we're all going to be in heaven. It's going to be a lot of people up there, and we're going to spend a lot of time talking, I think. You know, not only with Jesus, but with each other. That's my thought. So may just God work with each one of you in this area of friendship. Fill your need, help you fill the needs of others, and help you grow and grow and grow so that you can be everything God made you to be. Everything. Do not be afraid of anything he has for you. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this time and for this way that you opened our hearts and minds. Lord, you've made friends so special. Not only you, but our human friends, Lord, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Give us your grace and mercy, Lord. Fill us with your spirit. Make us open to all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.